Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Tuesday edition of News on the Hill. I'm Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for tuning in, whether that is over the radio, streaming through chapelboro.com, or however you're listening to us today. I appreciate you taking the time this evening, and we've got a whole bunch of local news stories to catch you up on, so let's just dive straight in. We begin with early voting. We saw kind of a slower start to the early voting period in Orange County this year. Only 63 people cast their ballots in the first 2 days, but that could be because only one polling site was open. And after the numbers came in yesterday, when we saw three more early voting sites open up, that did seem to be the chief cause, as 358 people came out to vote in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro yesterday. A reminder that the early voting locations in Orange County this year are the Chapel of the Cross Church on Franklin Street and the Seymour Senior Center in Chapel Hill, the Orange Works location off of Mayo Street in Hillsboro, and a new spot to vote in Carrboro instead of Town Hall. We talked with Carrboro's town clerk, Catherine Durando, about this recently here on 97.9 The Hill, and she filled us in about what is different.
What I'll first say is, if you're driving, walking, if you're getting to the site, don't think about it being new. So you're going to go to the exact same parking lot, exact same area. The Bim Street building, which is located directly behind Town Hall, is where voting will actually take place. So once you get there, there will be signage and probably, or hopefully, you know, a line. We want to see as many people out as in a presidential election. But if there's not a line, there will definitely be people and election workers to help you make your way to the Bim Street location. So head over to Town Hall just like always, but it will be behind Town Hall where you'll actually be casting your vote.
Once again, that is Carrboro Town Clerk Catherine Durando speaking there. Early voting in Orange County runs through Saturday, October 30th. And a reminder that if you want your pick of polling places to vote, early voting is when to do that. When we get to Election Day on November 2nd, you have to go to the voting precinct that your residence is essentially assigned to go to. So if you want to learn more about early voting, learn more about those sites and their hours, as well as the elections themselves in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and Hillsboro, be sure to check out the local elections coverage page we have on chapelboro.com. On that page is endorsements of the candidates running in our local races. We actually had another batch of endorsements announced today. The Daily Tar Heels editorial board shared their suggested candidates in Chapel Hill and Carrboro races. The DTH endorsed Pam Heminger and Damon Siles in their respective mayoral races, as well as Karen Stegman, Camille Berry, and Paris Miller Fushi in the Chapel Hill Town Council race, and Randy Haven O'Donnell, Barbara Fushi, and Danny Nowell in the Carrboro Town Council race. The DTH also endorsed George Griffin, Reza Jenkins, and Mike Sharp in the race for Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education. If you want to learn more about their selection process, we have got links to that on chapelboro.com in our news article. Meanwhile, we got some news yesterday that will have big ramifications in next year's elections here in Orange County. U.S. Representative, who is the Orange County Congressman, David Price, announced he will be stepping down from the role at the end of his term in 2022. We're continuing to see people from around the Triangle region and state share their congratulations to Price today and thank him for his work as a congressman. That included North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, who tweeted, quote, "David Price is the epitome of what it means to be a public servant, and our state is stronger thanks to his years of work. We are grateful for your service to North Carolina." UNC Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz also shared his thanks on Monday, writing, quote, "Thank you, Representative Price, for your dedicated service to our state and the 4th Congressional District. We are grateful for the many ways you have supported UNC students and our community during your time in Congress." Now, we have two local governments meeting tonight. The Carrboro Town Council and the Orange County Board of Commissioners are both set to hold some business meetings at 7 p.m. virtually tonight. Yesterday, we also had one. The Chatham County Board of Commissioners held their second meeting of the month in Pittsboro in person. And the Hillsborough Board of Commissioners, they usually meet on Mondays. They are off this week, but an agenda item from their most recent meeting did catch the attention of the public. The Collins Ridge development in Hillsborough is set to have about 88 affordable housing properties included in its 1,000 units. But a recent update revealed that those affordable housing units are actually going to need to be relocated off-site from the rest of the neighborhood. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has more details on that.
The Hillsborough Board of Commissioners initially approved a master plan of the Collins Ridge neighborhood in 2016. Of the 1,000-plus units, 88 were designated as affordable rental units through CASA, a local nonprofit which provides stable, affordable housing for people who are homeless or at risk. The developer and CASA originally identified 3 acres of land at the east end of Orange Grove Street, which was well qualified to receive low-income housing tax credits from the North Carolina Housing Finance. But the site has since been determined to be unsuitable to qualify for the credit program. Now, developers and CASA have requested to relocate the affordable housing units off-site adjacent to the neighborhood. At a recent Hillsborough Board of Commissioners meeting, the commissioners voiced their opinions about this change to the master plan. Hillsborough Mayor Jen Weaver said the town needed to think about how to move forward with the affordable homes, even if they aren't in the Collins Ridge neighborhood.
All parties are frustrated and a bit disappointed that this set of CASA homes, it has to be moved, but it is the situation we are dealing with, and we've got to think about how to move forward.
Hillsborough Commissioner Kathleen Ferguson said she would like to see the 3 acres of land originally allotted to CASA become a green space.
So moving CASA out leaves space. However, what I'm saying is that doesn't mean they get to add more houses.
Ferguson said her main concern was making sure CASA was okay with the changes to the affordable housing of the neighborhood.
To me, this is the most important feature of Collins Ridge. And this is critically important for our community. CASA is bringing something that our community does not have. And if they are not fully satisfied, in my opinion, we have wasted time.
Rachel Eberhard, the real estate developer for CASA, said the nonprofit wanted to make sure connectivity was still maintained between the affordable housing site and the larger development.
So we have a proposed connection down to Freeland Memorial. We just really... we're concerned that we would just kind of be off to the side here and that our residents would not necessarily have as direct access to some of the amenities and the greater neighborhoods.
Despite the change in location, Eberhard said CASA is content with the new site. The Hillsborough commissioners unanimously approved the resolution to change the master plan for Collins Ridge. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
And we have some restaurant news in Chapel Hill today. The Triangle Business Journal reports that Momo's Master, a Himalayan restaurant specializing in Momo dumplings, is going to open up at 110 Columbia Street in Chapel Hill in November. That is the former spot of the Sawazdi Thai restaurant. Meanwhile, further down on 400 West Franklin, a tropical smoothie cafe is planning to move in and join the storefronts there. That spot is where the Bookshop of Chapel Hill was until 2017. And it's time now for a look at sports. We are just a couple of hours away from kickoff. We've got Tar Heel soccer action tonight. The men's team taking on Loyola Marymount here in Chapel Hill at 7 p.m. The 14th-ranked Lions are facing a Tar Heels team in need of a win and some offense. Carolina's dropped 2 of the 3 last games they've played and have only found the back of the net twice during that span. So they've got a tough road ahead of them tonight with a good matchup, but we'll see if they can snap that low scoring streak against the 14th ranked team in the country. Meanwhile, the votes from the ACC media members are in for the 2021 and 22 men's basketball preseason polls. UNC is picked to finish third in the conference. The ACC announced that poll this morning, and the two teams ahead of Carolina, Duke and Florida State. Second is actually the highest Florida State has ever placed in the preseason poll since they've joined the conference. Now, the Tar Heels are looking to work their way back up to the top of the ACC at the end of the season. Carolina ended up second to last in conference play 2 years ago and finished sixth last year with a 10-6 record against conference opponents. Two UNC players who had big roles in that rebound were also recognized by ACC media members. Junior forward Armando Baycott earned a selection to the preseason All-ACC first team, while sophomore guard Caleb Love landed on the All-ACC second team. Additionally, Love earned some national recognition, with the St. Louis native expected to take a leap in scoring efficiency and turnover rates this year. He landed on the candidate list for the 2022 Bob Cousy Point Guard of the Year Award. It's pretty self-explanatory. That award honors the top point guard in the nation and is given each year by the Basketball Hall of Fame. And Love is one of 20 players to make the preseason cut for that list. Some other weekly honors announced today for Carolina players. Volleyball sophomore Kaya Merkler was named ACC Co-Player of the Week today after leading the Tar Heels to back-to-back road sweeps. And field hockey senior Cassie Sumfest earned the conference's Defensive Player of the Week award for her part in the Carolina shutout win over number 15 Wake Forest last Friday. And in some coaching news, the track and field program for the Tar Heels added a new assistant coach yesterday. Jody Smith now going to be donning Carolina blue after he most recently served as head coach at Texas State. This time around with the Tar Heels, he is going to be focusing on coaching and developing sprinters and hurdlers. Turning to some news from UNC campus, a new student-led group will now work alongside the university's Public Safety Department, Orange County EMS, and the Chapel Hill Fire Department to help respond to Tar Heels experiencing medical emergencies. Last week, UNC campus EMS officially launched its 911 services to provide additional medical assistance and peer-to-peer support. This has been an ongoing effort since 2017, and 97.9 The Hill's L. Karras has more on this project coming to fruition.
From 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. Thursday through Saturday, while some students may be studying, catching up on sleep, or letting off steam on Franklin Street, others are patrolling campus or waiting for a service call.
Starting around 7 o'clock, we're stationed out of campus health, so we call on service, and starting, it could be 7:01, if a call comes out, our crews start responding to them.
That was Ishan Khosla, a UNC senior and co-director of UNC Campus EMS. He said their mission is to not only provide emergency medical care to the campus community, but also to take a more holistic approach in how they address the well-being of students.
I think that's one of the most unique aspects of what we do, is obviously we provide high-quality EMS care, but being student-run, we get to address these issues and concerns that we've noticed and that different community partners have voiced to us. And I think it really allows us to be a unique and supportive option for our students and the community.
Sarah Torzone, a junior at UNC and the other co-director of campus EMS, said a student-led EMS service is something Carolina has long been missing.
And we want students to know that they're safe and they should feel comfortable to reach out to us. You know, we've been in the same kind of situations that they've been in as students, and we understand the struggles of being a college student. So we do want to provide that peer-to-peer support and kind of mediate between them and other public safety agencies in the area and advocate for them on scene.
Campus EMS's work on scene could include anything from preparing a student to be transported by ambulance or serving as an intermediate between police. Since doing the bulk of its recruitment in August of this year, Campus EMS received 110 applications from state-certified student EMTs looking to get involved. However, due to budget restraints and tight-knit operations, only 9 applicants were accepted, bringing the grand total of the team to 15. But while small for now, this diverse team is mighty. Assistant Director of Nursing for Campus Health, Michelle Camarena, is helping provide administrative oversight of Campus EMS. She said this group will not only foster more collaboration between emergency services in Orange County, but also provide faster care.
What they're providing, we hope, is a quicker response time. They're located here on campus. They're able to get to these campus locations quickly and able to offer kind of a sense of compassion being fellow students.
While campus EMS's 911 response began just last week, with the very first night shift on Thursday, the student group has been doing community outreach for much longer. Recent public outreach has included educating students on life-saving skills, such as CPR trainings, Narcan trainings, and other bystander care, and helping with the university's COVID-19 response. Since the beginning of the pandemic, UNC EMS has assisted campus health in contact tracing COVID cases and leading vaccine clinics on campus. Now, following the death of two first-year students earlier this month, Torzone said the campus EMS team is also undergoing mental health training to better support students in need. She said she hopes the presence of familiar faces in these emergency situations will better help those in crisis.
When you are represented in medicine, you are cared for more. And so that I think that makes us also extremely unique in that students can see themselves in us and feel comfortable sharing their concerns.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
Some more news to catch you up on here. UNC making some national headlines in the courtrooms. A federal judge ruled yesterday that Carolina may continue to consider race as a factor in its undergrad admissions. That ruling goes against a group that argued the practice disadvantaged white and Asian students. U.S. District Judge Loretta Biggs said yesterday she believes UNC has shown it has compelling reason to pursue a diverse student body and has shown that there are measurable benefits coming from that goal, essentially using affirmative action policies. Now, this lawsuit from the Students for Fair Admissions has been ongoing since 2014 and argues that UNC's admissions practices go too far in using race as a factor in admissions and has, because of this, quote, intentionally discriminated against certain of its members based on the basis of their race, color, or ethnicity. Now, UNC, of course, has countered, saying that its admission practices are permissible under the law and that race-neutral alternatives would not allow it to achieve its diversity goals. Again, this ruling coming down yesterday in favor of UNC, the Students for Fair Admissions group expected to immediately appeal this, which means that we could see this case get taken to the Supreme Court, where that group already has a lawsuit out against Harvard University that the Supreme Court is deciding whether it is ultimately going to hear or not.